Well, this morning, take your Bible and go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I want to read verses 4 through 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 4 through 13. I want to talk to you about growing cold. I didn't say growing old, I said growing cold. I want to read the text, and I want to let the text speak to us regarding the condition of being spiritually cold. Did you know that you can grow cold spiritually just like you can grow cold physically? Brother David commented on the, I believe it was Brother David a moment ago. I noticed my phone early this morning about 5 o'clock. It said 29 degrees. I thought, sure I'm glad Miss Beth didn't make me sleep on the ground last night. That'd been a bad night to have been in a doghouse without a heater. But I'll tell you, it would have been cold outside this morning if you had to sleep out there. Well, that's a worse condition than being physically cold, and that is to be spiritually cold. So I want us to just read the text and then let me talk to you about it, please, beginning in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places or in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I call your attention to verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, or shall become cold, or grow cold. Hence, this morning I speak to you on growing cold. You know, one of the signs of the end times, according to the text, is that the love of many shall wax cold. Obviously, it's talking about people who were once devoted to God and God's church have become cold in their devotion to Him. You could call this a state of spiritual hypothermia. You know what hypothermia is, as you've seen on television. I hope you don't know about it personally. But as you've seen on television, people fall into extremely cold waters, or people be left outside, some lost in the woods and have to be found, and they have the condition known as hypothermia. Hypothermia is that condition which an organism's temperature drops below that which is required for normal metabolism and bodily functions. In other words, hypothermia physically is when the body gets so cold it can't do what it's supposed to do. Spiritual hypothermia would be when the heart and soul gets so cold it doesn't do what it is supposed to do. They tell us, those who deal with hypothermia victims, they tell us there's about 3 stages of that. The first stage, as you might imagine, is that the hands get real cold and become numb. You can't use your fingers like you normally could. There's certain tasks that you can't perform. Your breathing will become very quick, labored, and shallow. The person can even feel a warm sensation, and they may think they are recovering when in fact they are not recovering. They are getting worse, and they're about to go into the second stage. And they tell us that the second stage is that their entire bodily movements become cold, or become slow because of their cold. and they will stumble if they seek to walk, and they are actually get to the place that they are confused. They're not totally aware of what's going on. And the third and final stage of that is that the person has difficulty with their speech. They can't even think straight. Amnesia sets in, and the person's pulse and respiration rates decrease, and they slowly die. And it's all in the process of not even knowing they're dying. Some 22 years ago, I traveled to my hometown to pick up my mother, who had been in the hospital, and I brought her to Valdosta, not knowing that she would die in just a very short few days. And on a night when she was not feeling well, as I would normally do, I would take her blood pressure and take her temperature. And when I took her temperature on this given night, she was exceedingly below 98.6, and I knew we had a problem. And so you get panicky when you're trying to care for somebody, and I called the ambulance, and they couldn't find the place, even though I gave strict directions on what to ignore, because there is a South Lake Shore and there's a North Lake Shore, but they got lost, which I wouldn't do as good as they do if it was me. Then they wanted to ask, so, well, let us take her blood pressure. I said, I can tell you blood pressure. We need to get her to the hospital. Well, let us take her temperature. I can tell you her temperature. Let's get her to the hospital. I was panicky wanting to get her to the hospital because I know they have a protocol they have to cover, but I'd covered much of their protocol, and I realized that I've been in their position. Let me check it myself. I don't need to take your word for it. But, folks, it's a condition that needs some attention. And what my mother didn't know, and I didn't realize, she was dying in that moment. In the moment of hypothermia, if something's not done, you are dying, and you may have enough amnesia with the cold not to even realize you're dying. And how many times have we seen God's children be overtaken with a heart and soul that became so cold that months ago or a year or two ago, maybe even some weeks ago, it was like they became somebody they really had not previously been. And that's what the condition of hypothermia does physically, and that's what it does spiritually. You become something that you have not previously been. You can actually have it and not realize it. It gets to the place I mentioned, the hands don't work. Well, the hands spiritually are no longer involved with ministry like you once were. The hands, I mentioned, become numb, and you become numbed to the needs around you and to what's going on. The temperature drops, and all of a sudden there's confusion, and it can become such that you forget with amnesia spiritually all that God has done to you and for you and the many times God spared your life and did for you. You know, just as you can prevent physical hypothermia, you don't have to have it. You can prevent spiritual hypothermia. I want to give you really what's three basic headings today. And if I were you, I believe I'd jot these down, not because I'm saying them, but because they're true. How would you prevent spiritual hypothermia? How would you prevent your heart and soul becoming so cold toward the things of God? Number one, check your temperature often. Best way to know the condition of your body is keep your temperature checked. When my wife had the coronavirus back in November, and she was running fever, guess who else kept his temperature checked? I did. We have a little oximeter for your finger, and she was checking her oxygen, and guess who else checked his oxygen? I did. I wanted to see, are there some things going on I'm unaware of, because I didn't seem to have any symptoms at all. So check your temperature. You say, well, Pastor, How do you do that? Well, let me mention to you, and it'll be on your screen, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't you think for a moment that your heart is okay and that I can't have that condition. And, oh, that's not me, because even with physical hypothermia, it can set in and you don't even know it. You think you're doing fine. You've got that nice warm feeling, but that warm feeling is the start of death. So be careful with that. The world, the flesh, and the devil are very deceitful. And the last time I checked, the world, the flesh, and the devil is not out of business. They still are working against the people of God. So you want to check your spiritual life regularly. How do you do that, Pastor? First of all, I believe I would consider what occupies your time. How you spend your time tells you something about your heart and soul. Ephesians 5 says, redeem the time because the days are evil. The very passage we read from Matthew talks about the deceitfulness of the age, how that people will hate one another. So consider what occupies your time. I believe the next thing I would do is I would consider where your money goes. You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus, in fact, in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. But where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Don't try to convince yourself about your heart. Look at your checkbook. Your checkbook won't tell any lies. And it'll tell you where your heart is. I believe I would also keep my temperature checked by considering what excites you and gives you joy. Folks, your temperature has dropped considerably when you have no appetite for the fellowship of God's people, for the singing of God's music, for praying among God's people and praying to the Lord Himself, and when you've lost a heart for the corporate worship of the people of God, there's something wrong with your temperature. You see, when your temperature is like it ought to be, the things that please God please you. And when your temperature gets off, you don't seem to be pleased with the things that please God. You find someone like that just a fuddy-duddy. You're just a killjoy. You don't want to have any fun. Well, folks, what really is fun when you're right with God is not really fun when you're not right with God. It's that plain and simple. I would consider what excites me and gives me joy. And if going to the house of God and participating with the people of God and hearing the word of God is about like having a root canal with no painkiller, you've got a heart problem for sure. I believe one other thing I would consider if I was checking my temperature, I believe I would consider who you fellowship with. Now, folks, if you spend time with people who are cold in their relationship, trust me, listen to me, you will get cold in your relationship. All this stuff about, well, I'm going to have some influence on them. Generally, the carnal person has influence over the spiritual person, which speaks of our weakness spiritually on our best day. We are prone to pick up the faults of each other, not the strong points of each other. And by the way, have you examined, one of the men mentioned to me a moment ago, have you examined where you and your family are compared to where maybe your parents were? Now, some of you I know well enough to know that you are serving God in a way that your mom and dad never did serve God. And I say 10,000 hallelujahs. You have, by the grace of God, you've kicked out of that mold and you didn't have to repeat the mistakes of your parents. But some of you here this morning, if you think about it, your parents gave far more emphasis to serving God than you do. What they taught you didn't take very well. Can I tell you why? Because you've got a cold heart. Hypothermia has set in spiritually, and you just don't enjoy, oh, well, I've had this or I've had that. And most of us in this hour will hear somebody say, well, you know, we've had old coronavirus to put up with. Folks, your heart condition spiritually doesn't have one fiddling thing to do with the coronavirus. It's about your personal walk with God. And I believe I'd take my temperature. Number two, stay in shelter to maintain your temperature. A person who doesn't want to be cold, but they go outside and stay in the cold, must have a mental problem. Folks, if you don't want to have hypothermia, get in the shelter. Now, let me tell you what the psalmist said. It'll be on your screen, Psalm 61:3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. The psalmist said to the Lord, Lord, you've been a shelter for me from the enemy. That's the cold. You've been a shelter for me, a strong tower even for me from my enemy. So God provides shelter for all of His children, but it's left up to you and me to go in. It's like having a nice warm house and you just stay out in the cold. You can go in, but you just don't go in. And folks, we need to stay in the shelter if we're going to maintain a proper temperature. The shelter of the Lord is fellowship with Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. When you violate something that you know He's not pleased with, just repent of it. That ought to be, really, you know, we're prone to use this expression, second nature. That ought to be first nature. Oop, I thought something I shouldn't have thought. I said something I shouldn't have said. I acted in a way I shouldn't have acted. I need to repent of that right now. Stay in fellowship with Him. That way your heart won't get cold. If a person asks you, do you confess all your sins before you go to bed at night, folks, that question is loaded. If you wait till bedtime, you're in trouble. There'll be so many of them, you don't remember them. And you can't just do one of these little silly prayers, now lay me down to sleep. That may be fine for a two-year-old. Now lay me down to sleep. I left my tricycle in the street. If it should roll before I wake, said somebody to press the brake. I mean, you can't pray that way and have serious business with God. You can't do that. And so you need to stay in fellowship with Him. Warmth is the shelter of His presence. And when you get into His presence, you will be warmed by Him. And when you get out of fellowship with Him, you'll get cold. So stay in the shelter. How do I stay in the shelter, Pastor? By maintaining proper fellowship with the Lord in your prayer life and in reading the Bible. Now, folks, Brother Wayne doesn't have a clue anything God has said, not a clue what God thinks, unless I read the Bible. Nobody can really tell me anything God said unless they're telling me what's in the Bible. Why do I want you to tell me everything God said when I got a Bible and I can read? You agree with that? Well, why do you want Brother Wayne to tell you everything God said when you got a Bible and you can read? So if you're going to maintain the proper, stay in the shelter with the proper temperature, then keep your fellowship right with prayer and Bible study. And then I would say this, you can maintain your proper temperature by fellowshipping with God's people in worship corporately, worship together, and serving God together. We do service projects together. We find people that have need and we minister to them. And you know what generally happens? When we get together to go minister to somebody, now you think about it in your own life, we end up with more blessing than they do. God's just got it fixed that way. So maintain the proper spiritual temperature. Third and finally, I would build a fire in my heart and keep it hot if I was going to do what I need to do to not grow cold. I would build the fire. Acts 28:2 makes this statement. Now, this is when Paul was at the island of Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Means showed us a lot of kindness. What'd they do? They kindled a fire and they received every one of us because of the present rain and because of the cold. Well, they saw Paul and his entourage had been shipwrecked in the rain and the cold. And so they built a fire. And we got to build a fire if we're going to keep our hearts hot for God. Now, how are we going to build the fire? How about let's do this? Let's meditate on the Word of God. Meditate means I'm going to let it stay there and I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take it and impress the truth of that principle in my heart. You'd have to be from the country to know what I mean when I say a cow chews its cud. I could gross out you city girls and boys. He just or she just kind of burps it back up and chews it again and swallows it again. Now think about that when you eat lunch today. That'll make you everything appetizing. Let me illustrate it a little bit better. It won't be so gross. Will for some of you, but not others. When I grew up, my mother churned, made butter. I drank buttermilk. When I went to pastor the first congregation that the Lord sent Beth and me to, I had a bunch of dairymen in the church, and they'd bring me fresh milk, still warm, on Wednesday night. And they would tease me and say, "Pastor, we brought you some white lightning tonight," because that milk was white. Sometimes I would take that milk and put in the churn that I had bought and sit it in a little closet where there was a gas water heater, and I knew it would stay near the heat. That milk would finally clabber, and I would churn it and get the butter and then have buttermilk. But something happened in the milk over time that could not happen instantly. My mother made homemade sauerkraut when I was a kid. I still love sauerkraut. But that sauerkraut had to be packed in a churn with salt and other things in order to work off over several days, just like the milk had to work off before it was churned. The cabbage had to work off in order to finally become kraut, so something could happen to the cabbage over time that could not happen instantly. And when you meditate, something happens in the heart over time with the Word of God that cannot happen instantly. And if we're going to build a fire and keep it hot, we're going to have to learn to meditate on the Word of God. What do you think about when you don't have anything else to think about? I would suggest listen to some good Bible teaching and preaching. I've had some of you say, "Pastor, I have a CD by Dr. Stanley," or someone you'll say, "and boy, that thing has really blessed me." Folks, that's wise. I've had some of you say, "Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't mention this to you, but it really spoke to my heart out of a certain message you did, and I ordered a CD from it, and I've listened to that message you preached again because it meant something to me." You know what they're doing? They're keeping their heart hot for God. I would say to this, look forward to the coming of the Lord. Do you know that you and I, every person in this room, is going to stand before the Lord one day? Now, one or two things is going to happen. The trump of God is going to sound, and we're going to leave here and be in the presence of the Lord, or the death angel is going to come and call me into the presence of the Lord. But either way you look at that, the Lord is coming, and I am going. And it ain't a bad, you say, "Well, I find that kind of morbid." Morbid? Are you kidding me? Do you know where we're going when we die? It's better than the opening of a new Walmart. You've never seen anything like it in your life. It defies human description, the beauty of the place called heaven. And if you get to thinking that you're not going to stay here, but you have an eternal home, and all of this bickering, oh my heavens, all of this hate, you can almost touch it. It's almost tangible that's in our nation right now. Praise God, I don't have to stay down here. In the fullness of God's time, I'm going to be called out and go to the home that Jesus said, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you." And if I go prepare that place, I'm coming again, and I'm going to receive you, that's all of you who know Him, unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Keep that in your mind, and your heart will stay hot. And then I would just say, if you want to keep your heart hot, just pause a moment and think about all that God has done for you. Think about when you was a child, what your opportunities were. You know what my opportunities were as a child? Nearly nothing. Nearly nothing. You know why I've had opportunities? The mercy and grace of a God who has been so amazing, you don't have the time to hear about it. Think for a moment about His presence in your life. Did you know the Holy Spirit invaded your life when you got saved? Did you know the same Holy Spirit that invaded your life at salvation was watching over you prior to salvation? And when you think about His presence in your life, think about His provisions on your life. You've heard me say many times that the Lord loads us daily with benefits. What was it worth this morning to be able to get out of bed unassisted? What was it worth this morning to be able to sit down, bend over, and tie your shoes or put them on? What was it worth this morning to be able to just clothe yourself, to know what to do, not to have some type of mental deficiency that if we live long enough, we all may have before we leave here? Thank God for His provisions on your life. They are many. And thank Him that wherein the eternal sentence of death was on you with no hope of cure, grace has come, and now you no longer have the eternal sentence of death. You got the eternal sentence of life on you. Life everlasting, life abundant, life of joy because of Jesus. So as you think of His presence in your life, His provision on your life, think about the fact of His purchase of your life. Remember, the Scripture says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. He bought and paid for you. And if He did and you are a Christian, you really belong to Him twice. He made you, and then you, through Adam's race, fell from fellowship with Him, and then He bought you. You're really His twice. Think about that. Folks, the sad truth of it is the spiritual temperature of many a church this morning has fallen. Many a church. I could just name them, but I wouldn't. But you got to look long and hard to find a church right now in America that is the same thing it was 5 years ago or certainly 10 years ago. And if you find one that seems to be, now I don't want to throw everything under the bus when I say this, but many times when you find one that seems to be blowing and going, I'm talking about gigantically, you will find a party taking place when you find out what's going on there. Folks, it's a lot easier to build a church if you won't mention sin by name. It's a lot easier to build a church if you won't, if you'll just, you know, drink coffee and shake hands and smile and hug the women and kiss the babies. Yeah, I tell you, it's just a lot easier to grow a church. And in this hour, preachers more than ever want to be liked. I tell you the conclusion I've come to. If a preacher wants to be liked, he needs to sell ice cream. That's the best thing to do. Sell ice cream. So, churches once had members that was fired up and they were ready to serve. Many times they cannot be found. Why? Because as the Scriptures talk about, they've left their first love. Why does anyone leave their first love? Because their old hearts have gotten cold. Did you ever hear that old, I consider it a two-bit excuse? Well, I still love him, but I'm not in love with him. Or I still love her, but I'm not in love with her. Hogwash. Hogwash. Pure hogwash. And I'm being nice to call it that. It's hog something else, but we'll just call it hogwash. Folks, we either love him or we don't. We either want to serve him or we don't. And the highest form of love is service. Highest form of love of a mother is not to say she loves her children, she serves her children. Highest form of love as a dad is not to say he loves his kids, but he serves them by providing for them. Highest form of love for a husband to a wife is not just say he loves her, but he tries to help her and does something for her. I could go down the litany, you don't need that. And the highest form of love for a child of God to their Savior is that he or she serves Him. Today, two questions. Do you know Him? Can you say emphatically, I know there's been a moment when Christ saved me and Jesus lives in my heart? Second question. Today, if you're one of those who you can say Christ lives in my heart, be honest with your heart, not with Brother Wayne, but be honest with your heart and God. Have you lost some temperature? Do you see some signs of spiritual hypothermia sitting in? Well, right now is the time to change that as we bow together. Would you bow with me? Father, I pray for these today who may not know you, and this might be the moment that God, the Holy Spirit, would bring saving grace into the heart, and some by the work of your Spirit could be birthed into the eternal family of faith. May saving grace capture the heart. May some be born again as they repent of their sin and surrender to you as Lord of their lives. And then, Lord, the rest of us need to take an examination and be honest with ourselves. Bad it would be to lie to our spouse or to lie to anybody, but, Lord, it's worse when we lie to ourselves. If we could just be honest and answer the question, are we where we need to be? Has our heart become cold compared to what it used to be? Do we look back at a day when our hearts were hot for you and now things have cooled off? Oh, our Father, would you do a work of grace in the hearts of this people today? Rekindle that love, that fervency, that passion, a sense of renewal and revival and restoration of the fullness of who you are in all of your lordship in the hearts of each of us as your people. Have your way in this service, in the lives of those who have been viewing by live stream as well as in this building. We recognize the moment is coming when we will face you. May we be willing to face you in honesty right now, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand, if you would, please. This is our hymn of invitation and commitment. And you